Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from the team of Deutsche EuroShop in Hamburg. This is Willem Wellner speaking, and I'm happy to present you our results for the first 9 months of the financial year 2018. As before, I'm here together with my colleague Olaf Borkers and Patrick Kiss, our head of IR. One information in advance, for today's presentation, we have changed the format slightly. In substance, we will, of course, report the same content. However, we think that the results can be even better tracked when we combine the presentation of the P&L numbers with the respective bridges and explanations on one slide. We trust that you will have the same experience. If not, please let us know in due course. However, now, as just as usual, I would like to start with the operations and here with the retail turnover of our tenants and the split up by retail segments on slide 2. To be frank, just as reported with the first half year figures already, the turnover numbers look disappointing, even though there is an obvious explanation at hand. The extreme summer weather conditions, especially in Germany, but also in our other portfolio countries, led to less customer traffic and correspondingly to less turnover for most of our tenants. You will surely have heard about that explanation from other market participants, especially from the fashion and shoe segment. While there are, of course, other effects influencing the turnover development of our tenants, one can reasonably assume that the historical warm and dry weather that we had here was a very big impact. Looking from a business perspective, such really peculiar climate conditions unfortunately lasted well into October, so let's hope that the tenant sales catch up in the last quarter. But let's now look into the numbers. Starting with the overall picture, we have seen a minus of 2% for the overall absolute retail turnover of the portfolio, with an increase of 0.3% in our foreign centers and a decrease of 2.6% in Germany. On a like-for-like basis, our retailers in the first 9 months saw a minus of 0.9% abroad and a minus of 3.2% in Germany. But in total, it's a minus of 2.8% for our portfolio on a like-for-like basis. The performances of the variant segments within our portfolio were as follows. In our German centers, and again on a like-for-like basis, almost all sectors saw lower numbers. Especially impacted were shoes, leather, and fashion, as well as general retail, department stores, and food. They're all down between 5.4%. Electronics came out with minus 2.6% after a very strong plus 6.3% for Q3 2017. Sports reported 1.7% lower sales, food catering minus 1.5%, and health and beauty minus 0.9%. Only services saw a nice plus of 1.3%, which was driven by good sales of travel agencies, which are contained in that segment. This is not really a surprise. People seem to have used the nice summer more to travel than to shop. On the basis of these developments, our rent-to-sales ratio now stands at 9.5% after 9.1% at year-end 2017. In parallel, and for the same reasoning as mentioned before, the footfall in our centers in the first 9 months was also lower. We saw a minus 2.8% in Germany, and in our centers outside Germany, we saw a minus of 2.9%. Here, besides the climate impact, there are also some special influence factors in the catchment areas of our centers. For example, in Klagenfurt, there is some big street construction ongoing for some time already, and in Gdansk, there was the opening of the Forum Gdansk, not too far, that is roughly 5 kilometers away from our center. As it is a big center, it is normal that many customers will find their way also to the new player in town, which will gradually normalize over time. We will further observe the development in the next month when the weather conditions should return to a more normal pattern. But now I would like to come to the financials. Let's start on page 3 with our revenues. Our result after 9 months for 2019 looks as expected. Revenues increased by 3.8% or 6 million year-on-year with a major effect, that is 5.6 million coming from the acquisition of Olympia and Brno, which has been included in the figures since end of March 2017. Our like-for-like sales also grew slightly by 0.3% or a total of 0.4 million euro. On the bottom left, you will find the corresponding bridge, which is easy to follow. On the right, we'll show the share of our revenues between abroad and domestic sales, where you also can see the influence of the acquisition of our center in the Czech Republic. Now, on a consolidated basis, 16% of our revenues come from abroad, and on a look-through basis, that is taking into account all revenues of our centers according to the effective participation in the properties, such number now corresponds to 18%, and this is a number probably more reasonable to look at. On page 4, we saw the development of our EBIT. EBIT increased to 146.5 million euro, which corresponds to a plus of 4.4%, and center operational costs in the reporting period comprised mainly of center management fees, non-allocatable ancillary costs, maintenance, and write-downs for rent receivables, and they rose just slightly by 0.4 million to now 17 million, and they were in line with projections. Other operating expenses amounted to 4.3 million, that is 0.4 million lower than in the previous year, and in the last year period, some one-off acquisition costs in connection with the acquisition of Olympia were included. Let's come to page 5 and the financial result now. The financial result came out with minus 28.4 million euro, which is 0.9 million lower in comparison to the first 9 months of 2018. Major components are the operational at equity result, which now stands at plus 23 million, and the interest cost, which now amount to minus 39.8 million. The result attributable to the minorities account for minus 13.8 million, while the remainder of plus 2.3 million came from a valuation gain resulting from a swap agreement. The overall change of 0.9 million can be best explained by following the finance bridge on the lower left part on the slide. Starting from the left, we paid 1.1 million more for the interest of Olympia, that is in more, one more quarter of interest for the center, and realized interest cost savings of 1.6 million for the rest of the portfolio, resulting from loan redemptions, the conversion of the convertible bond in November 2017, and improved interest rates realized in the course of refinancings. The operational equity result improved slightly by 0.3 million, or 1.1%. The other components remained almost unchanged to the prior year level. On page 6, you will find the EBT, adjusted for measurement gains and losses, and this EBT rose from 111 to 118.1 million, which is a nice plus of 6.4%. Here the biggest effect came again from the portfolio expansion, that is Olympia, which contributed a plus of 4.9 million. However, also the spending portfolio contributed a nice plus of 2.2 million. And looking at the operating profit, that is the EPRA earnings on page 7, such operating profit increased from 103 to 107.8 million. And due to the higher number of shares issued, EPRA earnings per share fell from 1.74 after 1.79 in the period before. Here the impact of the dilution from the convertible bond, which converted, as I said, end of 2017, becomes visible. Now let's come to the consolidated profit of the group on the next page. The consolidated profit decreased by 3 million and now stands at 82.2 million. And it's best to explain the development along the profit bridge, which again you will find on the lower left part of the slide. Olympia contributed plus 4.1 million, and the profit of the other standing assets improved the result by a further 3.4 million. The valuation result after tax accounted for minus 8.8 million of the change. Contained in these numbers are the regular CapEx and one-off write-downs in connection with the development costs for the plans to conduct a large extension of our center in Gdansk. Such plans were stopped already in Q2 of this year. This number also includes investments in respect of our mall beautification and edge of service programs, where we improve the attractiveness and service quality of defined centers, or other changes resulting from non-efficient interest swaps and deferred taxes that are very limited. Earnings per share fell from €1.49 to €1.33, and such decrease is to a larger extent also due to the effect from the conversion of the convertible bond, which I explained before. Now please follow me to page 9 and to the development of the FFO. The funds from operation are, of course, one key figure for us to look at, as they are the basis for the distribution of dividends, the repayment of scheduled loan amortizations, and the financing of investments into our portfolio properties. For the first 9 months, FFO rose by from 107.6 million to now 110.7 million. Looking from the FFO per share, we see a decline from 1.88 euro to 1.80 euro, again resulting from the dilutive convertible bond. Please find the more detailed calculation of the FFO on the right-hand side of the slide. So this was so far our P&L. We'd like now come to our balance sheet on the next page. And here you can see that our asset base was nearly unchanged at 4.6 billion compared to the last reporting date, end of the year. As of end of September, current and non-current financial liabilities stood at 1.5 billion, and they were 13.9 million lower than at the end of 2017 following scheduled repayments. Non-current deferred tax liabilities increased by 14.2 million to now 454 million, mainly resulting from the regular tax depreciation. The redemption entitlements for third-party shareholders increased marginally to now 337.7 million. The other current and non-current liabilities are also rather unchanged. Total equity, including minorities, increased by 4.1 million, and this number includes the effect from the dividend payment, which was affected beginning of the third quarter of this year. As you can see, our equity ratio remains strong at 55.6%, and the consolidated LTV now stands at 32%. On a look-through basis, that is the LTV calculated fully proportionally according to the group's share in all assets, the LTV now stands at 34.2%, also a very reasonable number. On the next two pages, we give you some more information on our debt. And here it's important to mention that of our consolidated debt, some 620 million become due in the next 5 years. We still see, as before, potential for some reductions in our interest costs over the next years. And currently, our consolidated debt bears an average interest rate of 2.73%. The average interest rate already came down significantly in the last years. Given the actual interest rate environment and quotations from banks, we can currently refinance our debt around 1.5 to 2% per annum for 10 years in Germany, and in CEE around 25 to 50 bips above that. Our weighted maturity for loan portfolio now stands at 5.6 years. After the detailed information, let's come to the guidance. We did not include any changes, as you can see on page 13. We anticipate revenues of 220 to 224 million this year, and next year revenues should come out between 222 and 226. EBIT should come in between 193 and 197 million this year and 194 to 198 next year. We expect the EBIT without valuation effects to be within 154 to 157 million this year and between 158 and 161 million next year. FFO per share are expected to come out between €2.35 to €2.39 for this year and €2.40 to €2.44 for next year. For the total FFO, we forecast between 145 to 148 this year and 145 248-251 next year. So, and after all those numbers, come to the outlook, please, on next page. Looking on the operations, we are, as before, working on the rollout of the mall beautification and at-your service programs, this in our centers in the Altmarktgalerie Dresden, the Billstedt Center in Hamburg, Rhein-Neckar-Zentrum in Viernheim, and the Herold Center in Norderstedt. In Magdeburg, we already completed the programs just in time for the 20th birthday of the LA Center. That was end of September this year. And among many things, we have refreshed the center here with new mall design elements, lounge areas, and toilet areas. Also, the design of the food court has been changed accordingly, and more seatings and additional gastronomy has been added. For some of the other centers mentioned before, we expect to finalize the improvements either end of 2018. Some others will last into 2019. While we are overall making good progress for such programs, we had hoped to be a bit quicker in some cases, but as we, for many measures, need to apply for building permits, especially if fire protection issues need to be considered, we face the fact that this is still sometimes more time-consuming than expected and hoped. Let's come to the financing side, where we are working on the refinancing of a total amount of 194 million at the moment, and we expect to sign those agreements by end of the first quarter of 2019. The banking market is still currently very positive, and we are confident to agree on attractive terms with the banks here. And finally, also as usual, we look forward to be, or we talk about the dividend, and we look forward to be able to increase our dividend to 1.50 euro for 2018, and we also plan to further increase the dividend to 1.55 euro for 2019. That's so far from our side. Thank you for listening, and I'm happy to take questions now. Operator, please go ahead.
The first question is from the line of Thomas Neuhold from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I have basically two questions. The first is on slide two, the retail turnover development and also rent-to-sales ratio development. I was wondering if you can give us an indication if the weak retail turnover and the rising rent-to-sales ratio had an impact on the tenants' turnover in your portfolio and what you see currently when new expiring contracts are up for prolongation, what impact the current situation could have on the rents you're able to charge. And the second question is on the portfolio valuation. I was wondering if you have already started your discussions with the appraiser and then can give us an indication what could happen in 2018 in terms of portfolio valuation. In particular, I was interested in discussing the assumptions in the portfolio valuation. If I remember correctly, currently, the portfolio is valued on the basis of a 1.47% annual rent increase. I was wondering, given that recent like-for-like sales growth was well below that level, there's a risk that the long-term rent growth assumptions might be reduced with the valuation of the portfolio in 2018. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for the questions. Your first question, I hope I got it right, but these are the turnover developments of our tenants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's it. And of course, we love to have our tenants seeing turnover increasing. There are many effects. One is e-commerce, where there's a shift more to online, and this leads also to some more invisible part of turnover. So if you go to a shopping center and you shop there but buy at home, this turnover is not really seen in our numbers. We're working with various measures like the digital mall to get some of the turnover back or booked through the stores, but this is one effect. And the other effect is, of course, that the hot summer had its impact here, and we have to see whether we see a normal weather behavior next year. Of course, I mean, if the turnovers are under pressure, of course, tenants come and discuss rents more intensively as if it's the other way around. We have elaborated on that, on the limited chance to increase rents at the moment, which is especially true for segments that are hit more on the turnover side. And we have to see how this further develops. Yeah, so it's not easy at the tenant market, especially in the textile and fashion segment. For the valuation, the valuators are doing their job. We are still in November, and so it's too early to talk about that. And we also said before that we do not predict valuations. We have, of course, the impact of the CapEx onto valuation, which you see developing over the quarters, but we have really to wait and see what the valuators make up from their mind, talking about the investment market and the net initial yields of shopping centers that have been traded. My impression is that there has been less trading, and let's say that the hype we have seen the years before has cooled down quite a bit. It will be also interesting for us to look at the overall effect. They work, of course, with discounted cash flow models, and they put in the inflation effects, but they, and you see that number, but on the other hand, they, of course, see the development of rents in other cases and in our cases, so they would correct this inflationary effect also through higher discount rates they would apply if they see that rents are under pressure. So to look purely at the nominal inflation they account for the next 10 years on average, and you reported or you were quoting the number from last year, would not be enough. You would have to see that in conjunction with the discount rates. Yeah. So the main driver is the net initial yields, of course, how they have developed, and the overall rental growth in real terms.
Mm-hmm. And from your discussions with the valuers, do they have any issues with the assumptions from last year? Do you think there might be big changes, or you expect a rather stable development?
Yeah, again, then I would predict that they just got the information of the full portfolio. We haven't seen anything so far, but I mean, if you follow that, the investment market, I think, has cooled down, and this is one major ingredient. You have seen in other countries that yields have widened a little bit after they were compressing over years. But as we have 21 centers in, some countries, in bigger cities and smaller cities, it would be pure guessing.
No. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Kai Koza from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Very good morning. Could you indicate how many lease contracts were extended and or newly signed, and what was the rent compared to the previous rental levels when it came to the extensions? And the second question is regarding the beautification investments. How will this affect or how will the appraisers will take this into account for the portfolio valuation? Will it have a portfolio value enhancing or dilutive effect? Thank you.
So we had roughly 3-4% of leases coming up. Regularly it was 3% in 2018. And as you see, that like for like was just a very slight plus. You see that on average the lease contracts were extended on the levels before. Of course, there are fluctuations. There are some sectors where we see some nice rent increases. This is still true for drugstores and services and something like that. Or new players where we have, I can't now mention names, but where we see nice rents. On the other hand, we have the textile segment where we see also that we have to give in here or there on the rents. But I think a fair number for the portfolio is really visible in the like-for-like at the moment. Second part was, sorry? Yeah, of course, they take that into account when they look at the overall picture. That, of course, the center, which is a little fresher than the one that is not as fresh. Yeah, but I need to be very carefully. All of our centers look very nice, and we do just a bit or something more to be at the edge. they will take that into account, but it's of course not a total game changer here. Yeah, it's as we have stated when we announced the program a year ago, also part of the costs we incur to keep on with our business. They are not really, you might call them, or you have called them defensive, and that's probably true on if you look on the cash on cash return on that individually. Yeah,
I was just more curious how it works from the appraiser's perspective, because I think for these beautification investments, you don't expect any significant, or if any significant increase in rents or any significant returns, different to an extension of a mall, so just technically how it will be incorporated.
Yeah, technically, they expect some capex over time looking into the future, and then if you have affected those capex after, let's say, then they take that out from the, let's say, from their discount model. But they do it rather on a more, yeah, more on a run rate basis than on an individual basis. Yeah. It's, I mean, we show them what we plan to do. Yeah. We have open books and they make up their mind, and that's what they have taken into account last year and this year into their equation.
Yeah. Okay. And maybe the last question, did you get any indications from H&M to stay or to leave some shops in your portfolio?
I mean, we have a running portfolio with them, and we talk about, in one case, even about an extension. We, of course, discuss in others where in 2-3 years' time rents will come up, but there is no immediate other, let's say, portfolio or visible portfolio amount coming due. So they haven't approached us with a wish list to close shops, if this is a question.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question is from the line of Thomas Eifler from ODDO BHF. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I have a follow-up question regarding the CapEx. Probably you can give us an indication what you expect for the fourth quarter on CapEx for the modernization and then for 2019. And the second question, if you can give us, you mentioned it, the digital mall, where you stand there, kind of an update. When do you plan kind of the first introduction in your mall, in your malls regarding this technical new app?
Yeah, we plan to, or let's say the estimate for the CapEx this year is anything between 25 and 30 million. But this still strongly depends on, as I said, building permits. And once you have them, you have to secure that you have construction companies be ready waiting. We hope to be on, or let's say, be able to spend a high amount earlier. For the next year, is this the same true? I mean, we said before that we expect a higher level of CapEx in the next years, but it's very hard to determine for individual years how quick we really can spend that. Before we said that we'll spend 25 to 30 million over the next years, and this will be minimum the case. We have also said that we try to do it more upfront, as quickly as we can deploy the money reasonably. So depending how quick the individual projects run, it depends. And this is hard to predict. As I said before, we had hoped to invest substantially more this year. Yeah. Which is now shifted in the first half of next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is probably better to talk about a run rate, yeah, for the next year, where we said maybe 30 million is a good estimate. When we now shift over what we haven't done, we've been able to accomplish this year on that program, which is not a major concern because it's just shifted by 1-2 quarters. But again, if you look on individual years and controlling accounting-wise, it looks probably a big difference. Oh, and Digital Mall. We are on the list, of course, with some of our shopping centers, and Main-Taunus Centrum will be one of them. And we hope that up to 6 centers will be on the Digital Mall starting beginning of next year. So I've said before, I like it very much, the Digital Mall, and the biggest part is probably not now the technical rollover to more centers, which is an important task, of course, but to get more retailers on that system. There are quite some already, but to get really the critical mass, there are many more to come. Yeah? But again, EC is working on that, and I mean, if you want to try that out here, the Alster Einkaufszentrum is the one that's working already. We'll keep you informed about the next ones to come. It's still in its infancy, but it looks nice from my point of perspective.
Good. Thank you.
Please remember, if you would like to ask a question, press star followed by one on your touch-tone telephone. The next question comes from the line of Georg Kanders from Bankhaus Lampe. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning from Düsseldorf. I have the impression that in Q3 you had higher cash taxes against the first half. Is this now the new level we should continue to expect, or is there a special factor?
Yeah, one factor is that we have used over the last years still some loss carry forward in some entities, which have been now used up in the course of this year, and that was not so easy to plan when this will be the case. And in other cases, the CapEx we were just talking about, even though they cost a lot of money, the positive side is they're a little bit like a tax shelter, so you can shift quite a bit of the tax going into the future. Having said that, the level of cash tax has already slightly, even the last year's, come up, and we expect it to be around probably 10 million this year, and this is probably more than the new level, depending how much capex / tax shelter we get through the special capex program.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Andre Remke from Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. First question on the refinancing side. You mentioned the 194 million. Can you remind us when these loans are due? So I guess it will be a forward structure. And what is the current term on this amount?
We are talking about two loans. The first one is 135 million for the A10 center, coming due in January 2020. Current interest rate is 4.5%. Current indication is, including a forward, 1.9%. We are very happy to see that we can negotiate with banks no further installment in new loans. The second loan is due in June 2020. It's for the Saarpark Center Neunkirchen, and we are negotiating 59 million euros in total, and our portion is 50%. Current interest rate for these loans also 4.5%, and current indication for this loan is 1.6%, including the forward, and also this loan expected without installment.
And both are refinanced for the next 10 years?
The second one, for the next 9 years, starting in June 2020. But the first one for the A10 center is 10 to 15 years. We will decide this in the first quarter of 2019.
Mm. So if I hear such terms, is it right to assume that banks are not concerned about the sentiment when it comes to stationary retail, so they are not asking for higher margin from a risk perspective?
The image, or the picture is a hybrid, I would like to say. We have a lot of banks which are very, very aggressive in margins. We are currently negotiating the lowest margins since 2006, so margins are below 60 basis points for 10 up to 15 years. And as I told you, due to our very low loan-to-value, they do not ask for further installments. That's a lot of money for us. On the other hand, we have some banks or insurance companies which are more hesitating to give loans for shopping centers, but that are only single banks and single insurance companies. We generally ask between 5 to 10 banks for a new loan, and there is perhaps 1 to 2 bank which does not give an offer. All the others do, and maybe have regularly 2 very aggressive and attractive offers for new financings. So we are very happy about that.
Okay, thanks. That's very helpful. Then the second and last question on your mall beautification program. Is it possible to say what is the average amount to be invested in one center to bring him up to speed or to improve the quality here? I know, or I guess it's a wide range, but what is the ballpark number here? Is it 3 million, 8 million? Could you put some words on that?
Yeah, I know where you're heading, but unfortunately it's not that easy. So we have some malls where we, for the time being, won't do anything. In some malls, we just do something for a million, do something very special because it's needed there. And there are other malls like the Rhein-Neckar-Zentrum where we spent an amount of around, I think it was 7 million just purely on those two programs, where we said we want to have a bit of a wow effect. So it's really developed bottom up, not top down, and saying we take an amount of X per center and this should fulfill the needs. So as we go forward, currently we have, I think it's now 11 centers on our plan. 5 I've mentioned already, about 3 to 4 we'll decide end of the year or beginning next year to start, and they are of course included in those CapEx projections that we have. But it's not possible to do it like that. Some centers are 50 years old, some are only 10 years old, so it's hard to judge. But CapEx is an issue. We've talked about that. CapEx are high at the moment. It will stay high for some time, but the message is we are able and we will spend the CapEx and not save on that for short term. Let's say that we look nice short term, but in the mid and long term we'll have issues probably on that end. And we have to review CapEx year by year, and we'll do so.
Mm. And out of the 21 centers, how many are let's say there is no need for such program? How many centers?
Yeah, I mean, for the visible future, these 11 centers are the ones that we have on our list. Again, some are have rather small amounts, and the others are probably to review it in 3 to 5 years' time, because there's no initial need to do that at the moment. And when we talk about those CapEx, we also bear in mind this is some very, no, not very special, this is some part of the CapEx. There are also other part of CapEx that we have to invest into, whatever refurbishment of roofs and stuff like that, and other CapEx if we, for example, get a new anchor tenant that we need to do some construction. Yeah. But this is just an additional information when you judge on CapEx. This is not all beautification. Yeah. This is, we have structural things that elevators need to be done here or there, which is nothing that has changed. This is normal. Yeah. Probably on... Yeah,
but this is a normal number we saw over the last couple of years.
Yes, but I mean, last year we have included also some more amounts to, let's say, secure or attract new anchors, where we have to build something new or rebuild part of the centers. So there have been something included, or we increase parking lots if it's possible. So just one moment, this CapEx amount, we set at 30 million, which we will have to review and which is a high number, is including this most beautification stuff and also other means. Yeah.
So the 25 to 30 million you indicated is for overall measure.
Indeed.
Okay.
And yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And this is a more an average run rate number to look at, yeah? Because, I mean, if we can spend something quicker and then hope, of course, that the effects come earlier, then we will do so. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time, and I would like to hand the conference back to Mr. Wilhelm Bellner for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. It's the last time that we regularly will hear you. Wish you nice seasons. Go out, spend, and shop, especially in our shopping centers, and yeah, enjoy the rest of the year. Thank you.